All right. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. It's so good to see you. Thanks for being here. I want to just begin in prayer. Is that okay? Is that all right? You guys awake this morning? We have coffee. It's right outside. You're welcome to bring it inside. You can spill it on the carpet. We will clean it. Amen. All right. All right. A little feedback from you. But I really just want to pray. And here's why. Here's why. I really feel, I sense that that our church is on the precipice of going into new territory, a promised land. Y'all remember the story when Joshua was called to carry Israel across the Jordan River into new territory? Moses had died, and it was like, hey, it's time for you to go into something new. I just believe that's where we are as a church family right now. I sense it all the time. I'm talking day by day in my own personal life. I sense it when we gather together in moments like these. I could sense, quite frankly, the enemy trying to push back against us this morning. I really could. I could just sense him just being like, man, I can see what God wants to do in these great people, and I'm going to push back with everything that I have. And I'm just calling our awareness to it. Man, let's go before God and say, we are more than conquerors because of Christ Jesus. Amen. And so, God, we come before you this morning, and we know who we are because of you. We are your sons. We are your daughters. We are your children. And we are victorious because of the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for us. We thank you, Father, that we are overcomers. We thank you that the enemy cannot succeed against your plans. We thank you, Father, when your word goes forward, that it fulfills everything it is set out to accomplish. And Father, today, we just pray over ourselves. We pray against any distraction, attack of the enemy. We pray against anything that Satan would try to do to hinder us from hearing the truth and the power of your word today. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that our ears would hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We pray, Father, that our eyes would see what it is that you want us to see, that our hearts would be in a posture to receive, that the soil of our heart would be rich and ready for the seed that you want to plant in us today. Father, I pray that your word would produce good and lasting fruit in our lives, Lord God, so that we can make a difference in the lives of those around us, we pray. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So we're in a series that we've been calling Kingdom Culture, and we're in the fourth part, final installment of that series today. How many of you guys have been enjoying it so far? Let me hear you whoop or something if you like it. I've been really, really, really enjoying this series because I feel like it's pointing us right to who God is, like what he's trying to achieve and accomplish in the lives of people. And so we've talked about a lot of great things. Today's the final installment. If you're a guest, by the way, tuning in for the first time, maybe it's perfectly fine. Today's message will be able to stand alone. But if this is your church home, like if this is the church you call home, I really would strongly encourage, go back, and you can find it on our website at cotr.live, or you can find us on YouTube. Go back and watch all four of these installments. This is everything about who we are as a church family. So if you're a person saying like, man, I want to grow roots here, I think God is calling me here, this is essential information that I've been putting out this month, amen, about who we are as a church. That makes sense, everybody? So forgive my excitement. I'm geeked up about it. Y'all ready to get started? All right, I'm going to move this thing just a little bit. All right, get your notes out. If you're a note taker, they will be in the seat backs in front of you. They will be underneath your chair in the front row. And they'll be in the link, I believe, in the description if you are doing it digital. This is where we've been starting every single week, is the words of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 6. Here's what he says. He's talking about stuff and life and all these things. And then he says, but hey, listen, seek first. Everybody say this word with me. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then all this other stuff that Jesus had previously been talking about, like the food you eat and the clothes you wear and the life that you live and the things that you have to deal with. He's like, hey, if you would seek the kingdom first, like God's agenda more than anything else, and then seek a life of righteousness, pursue God constantly, you don't have to worry about all that other stuff. It'll be added unto you. This is the promise of Jesus. And what we've been talking about is this word kingdom. Like Jesus is like, hey, I want you to seek the kingdom. But I really believe there are a lot of people that are like, well, what is that? I don't understand what that is. And here I've described it this way every week of the series, that we've been describing it as the kingdom's culture. Like God has a way of doing things. Let me say it this way. God values certain things. So again, I've used this example every week. If you got a new job, and you were going into the office or onto the site or wherever it may be that you would be going to start your new job, the first thing that you're trying to figure out in the first days or weeks while you're there is like, what do the people here value? Is timeliness important? Dress code important? Like, what are the things that they value? Because obviously you want to be a good employee. You'd like to keep your earnings. You'd like to maybe get promoted. You'd like to perhaps open doors for you to have more earnings. And so what you would be trying to do, whether you realize it or not, is you'd be trying to discover like, well, what is the company's culture? In other words, what do they value? And if I know what they value, then I'll know what to take seriously, I'll know what to focus on, and then it'll make me a good employee. Well, here's what the kingdom of God is. It's the things that God values. So if I'm gonna walk with Christ Jesus, it's important that I understand, God, what do you value? Because if I can value what you value, then I can understand your heart. The culture. I'll know what you're trying to do in me. I'll know what you're trying to do in the people's lives around me. I'll know what you're trying to do, quite frankly, in all the earth, because I know what matters to you. Is that making sense to everybody? And so what we've been doing to sort of draw out this value system is we've been going to this prayer from the Apostle Paul. It's found in the first chapter of Ephesians. And here's the prayer that he's praying. So imagine, if you're not familiar, this is a letter that someone wrote to a church like us, in a town called Ephesus. Therefore, they're called the Ephesians. And so this is a letter to the Ephesian church. And here's what he says. He says, I keep asking. In other words, I'm praying fervently. And I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In other words, I want you to understand some things. I want you to have this wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. How many of you guys know it's important that we know God? Amen. It's just important that we know who God is. Verse 18, he says, I pray also, though, that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. I've been kind of calling it like the aha moment, or it's like when you go like, I get it, or I see it. It becomes clear. And the prayer is that I want the eyes of your heart to be enlightened. I need you to have that understanding so that you may know the hope to which he has called you. And this is what we talked about last week, that he's called you to something. Amen. And then this week, here it is. It's the riches of his glorious inheritance in his, and here's where we're going to focus, his holy people. Like people. Let me say it to you this way, that we are designed to do stuff with people. It's just who we are. We like being a part of things. How many of you guys have a favorite sports team, favorite movies, favorite movie series, favorite interest? And it's a lot of fun when you get around people that carry that same interest. It's fun to go to the stadium when you're the home team. Why? Because you're a part of a people that's all cheering for the same thing. It's fun when you find somebody that nerds out on the same stuff that you nerd out about. You know what I mean? And it's like, oh my gosh, like, you know this? Like, yeah, right? It's really, really fun. They even say misery loves company. Because we're designed to do things together. And one of the values of God is that we are a family. He's like, hey, I want you to know who I am, and I want you to find freedom, and I want you to discover a purpose. All this is about your life, but you're only going to do that in the family. You have to become a part of my people. So this solo idea ain't working. So for all those people that say, well, I find God when I'm out in my boat by myself, like, okay, like, I'm not saying that's not possible. I'm not saying you can't find God on the golf course. I'm not saying you can't find him in the tree stand. I'm not saying that you can't find him in a quiet place. But if that is your substitute for the family, there's a problem. Because we're designed to do this together. Amen. And here's how we've been saying it. We've put some language to it. I'd love for you to write this down, especially if you are a part of this church family. The first thing is this, that we've been saying, I mean, Paul said it plainly in his letter. I want you to know him better. We want people to know God. In fact, God wants people to know God. In fact, let me say it this way. I think it's the most important thing on the whole list. Because you'll never find freedom if you don't know God. People try all the time. They're looking for it everywhere. They're looking for it in substances. They're looking for it in promotions and businesses and careers. They're looking for it in social atmosphere. They're trying to find freedom, but you'll never find freedom until you know God. This, the eyes of your heart get enlightened. Like, oh, it's like this. Like, I can take you out of slavery, but I still have to get slavery out of you. Amen. Last week, we talked about discovering purpose. So statistics tell us that the large majority of the body of Christ in America today, like us that walk with Jesus, we understand that Jesus saved us from our sin. What we don't seem to understand is why. And so I would like our church to be the kind of church that helps people understand that you were created on purpose for purpose. Amen. I'm going to keep preaching. I don't care what y'all say. All right. And then lastly, the reason that we have this purpose is because we're designed by God to make a difference. It's our design. We love making a difference, don't we, in people's lives? Like it's the thing. In fact, it's the focus of the day. That's what we're going to talk about today, is making a difference in people's lives. And we really enjoy it. Every time that you buy a meal for that person that maybe you know, it just, whether they could afford it or not, you just know it helps them and there's just something about it. Or maybe when you have that opportunity to mow the neighbor's lawn because it was getting tall and, you know, she's elderly and it's a push mower and she's probably on a fixed income and you're like, man, I got this riding lawnmower in the garage. Let me just go across and just mow the grass. It just feels good, doesn't it? If you go do a service for somebody or you provide something for somebody that they couldn't do for themselves, or maybe they could, you just did it because you wanted to. There's something about it, isn't it? That just feels really, really good. In fact, and I will not get into the details because I don't have the time, but actual science proves that we live our most fulfilled lives when we experience what's called transcendence. Like when we go beyond ourselves and start to make impact on people's lives, that's like the most fulfilled life. And so today, we've got to move quick, okay? We got to move quick because I could preach a series on today's topic easily. But I'm going to really connect. If you were a part of the message last week, it's going to layer really, really well. But if you weren't, don't worry, I'm still going to be able to communicate to you. But I'm going to talk today about what it's like for us to make a difference in the lives of other people. Are you ready? Say ready.
Ready.
Let's go. Let's do this. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this is the words of Jesus. If you have a red letter edition Bible, these words would be in red, meaning Jesus is speaking. And the Bible says this: you will receive, everybody say that word, power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. Now, let me just explain a little bit. Let me just explain. Because this verse, okay, these words, let me say it that way. These words from Jesus to the people who heard it, especially for the first time, this would have been like, what? Like, it would have been like that for these people. And here's why. Because before Jesus ascended into heaven, so we know Jesus came to the earth, right? Christmas, all right? Jesus lived this incredible life. He was the perfect example. He was the spotless lamb. Then Jesus goes to the cross, and he dies on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine, right? Good Friday. And then we know that 3 days later, the stone was rolled away. Jesus got up out that grave because death can't hold the king, everybody. Come on. Jesus walks out of that empty tomb and says, hey, I'm alive and well, Easter, right? And then Jesus decided to hang around for a little while, so about maybe 40 days, and he's in his glorified body, so he's walking through walls like he's freaking some people out. But he's showing up, and he's saying some really important things. And then there would be this time that Jesus actually, the Bible says that he just ascends, like into heaven. Like, can you imagine, by the way, being there? Can you imagine just hanging out with one of your boys and then all of a sudden they just start floating up into the sky? Like, what is going on, right? That's exactly what's taking place. But Jesus left the church a promise. And the promise was that you're going to receive power because you're going to have the Holy Spirit. This is significant because before Jesus would ascend and give the Holy Spirit to us, the presence, the power, the Spirit of God always dwelled in a building. But Jesus changed the game at the cross, and we became the temple of the Holy Spirit, and now the Spirit of the living God dwells in us. And so this was a big deal. It's like, what you mean? Like, yeah, like you, it's not, my presence won't be in the temple. My presence will be in you. So if you want my presence in the temple, go to the temple. Are you with me? This is big. This is really big. Now, we can take it for granted because it's all we know. So it's like, oh, I accepted Christ into my life, and then he put the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, and it's the only faith I understand. For them, it's like changing everything. But what he says is, and let me get to my point because I could spend the rest of my time talking about this. What he says is, I'm going to give you a particular power, and that power is going to be for a witness. The power that I want to give you is so that you can go effectively witness. Let me say it this way, make a difference. In other words, I need you to understand what I value so that you can communicate my values to other people. And then he tells them, oh, by the way, I not only want you to do this where you are in Jerusalem, I'd like you to also go to Judea and Samaria. You know what? Just go all the way to the end of the earth. Just go for it. And so here, write some things down with me as I teach a little bit this morning. That Jerusalem... This would represent the people who are closest to me. This makes sense. Like, hey, Jesus is like, hey, I'm going to make such a powerful difference in your life. I would like for you to make a difference in the lives of those around you. So this is our family. This is the people maybe in our neighborhood or in our workplaces. These are the people perhaps in where we do our hobbies or whatever it is. Like, it would make sense that, man, if Christ Jesus has so become a part of my transformational story, I really can't help it but to sort of talk about it. In fact, I was with my friend, we call him Anthony around here, and I was listening to him in a conversation with somebody, and they were talking about religion and politics, and like, I don't know, you know, blah, blah. And he just simply said, well, I can't not talk about my faith because it's who I am. Amen. And I'm over there like, you get him, boy, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, because it's who I am. And so when Jesus said, hey, I want you to go to Jerusalem, here's what he's saying. I want you to make a difference to the lives of those closest to you. Which for some of us, that's easy. Because like our home is our passion. Our family means more to us than anything. For some of us, that's the most difficult. Because like, well, they know me best. They've seen me lose my temper. They know my weaknesses. But Jesus is like, yeah, but I want you to make a difference in their lives. Come on, are you tracking with me? All right? The people closest to me. Like your church family. Okay, but then he goes on to say, I also want you to go to Judea and Samaria, and these are the people that are close to me, but they're different than me. They're not the same as me. Now, again, for the hearers of this, they would have been like, what? Like, are you serious? Because people from Jerusalem didn't associate with Samaritans and Judeans. That was like, no. They do their thing. We do our thing. We don't have no... They didn't cross boundaries. They didn't mingle. They weren't hanging around one another. Like, no, we don't do that. And then Jesus is like, yeah, but I want you to tell them too. Which for us, it's like, yeah, you go and you tell them Samaritans and them Judeans, you do it. And then I get a conversation about politics and I say, yeah, go to the other side. Oh boy, we don't preach now. Yeah, like let me say it this way. Jesus is calling us to impact people that vote differently than we do. That maybe have differences of opinions than we do. That might have a different background than we do. That culturally came from an entirely different walk of life than we did. That might actually disagree with us on most accounts. And Jesus is like, yeah, I want you to make a difference in their lives too. I want you to make a difference in the lives of the people that you can't understand why they do what they do. Think like they think. Live like that. You can't understand it. I'm calling you to go to them too. Come on, right? Because what he give us the power to do? Be witnesses. Amen. To be a witness. And then finally, he said, I also want you to go to the ends of the earth, which sounds pretty intimidating for most of us, right? And those are the people who are simply far from me. So I want to emphasize that Jesus has... Sorry, I see people writing. Here we go. I'm going to bring it back to you. Far from me. So I want to emphasize the call of Jesus to you and me is to be a witness. not a prosecutor, not a judge, not to be defensive, just a witness. What does a witness do? They get on a stand and they just tell their story. This is what I saw. This is what I experienced. This is what I remember. Just let me get on a soapbox for real, like, quick second, and then I'm going to get right back down. Listen to me, Church on the Rock. We're not called to be judges, be all judgmental, like we're high and mighty and got it figured out. They need to see it our way. Like, that's not who we're called to be. We're not called to go and attack people, that if you would only do it the way it should be done, blah, blah, and prosecute. That's not our thing. Too many of us spend our time trying to defend. Like, yeah, but, well, just, and we and defend. Like, that's not who we're called to be. We're just called to be a witness. And the interesting thing is we've been given the power to do it. So I don't have to know every Bible verse. I don't have to know every Bible story. I don't have to have it all figured out or know every answer. All I need to do is share with other people what God has done in me. So when people say, yeah, but what about this? I can simply say, I don't really know. To be honest with you, I don't have any idea. But here's what I do know is that the power of the living God changes me every day. All I know is that I'll never be the same. What I do know is that I have a hope that is real. I have a peace that surpasses understanding. I have a strong tower in which I run to. What I know is that I have a rock that I can stand on that is stable. This is our call. Amen. Amen. So the question is then, well, how do I do all this? How am I supposed to make a difference in the people closest to me, these people that are close to me but different, and then all the way to the ends of the earth? Well, I would just like to bring you back to the prayer of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians when he said he's going to give you an inheritance to be a part of his people. So how do I do that? Well, I do that with you. I can't do that unless I do it together with you, because we've been called to make a difference in the family. Like, how many of you know we can do way more together than we can ever do apart? Let me give you a couple of examples. How many of you know that your generosity makes a difference at Church on the Rock? You help translate Bibles into other languages and in a sector of the world called the 1040 window, which is a small little section on our globe that's the most unreached by the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of you know that you help translate Bibles there so that people can hear the hope of Jesus? How many of you know that? Yeah. Did you know that I don't even know if I know how to do that alone, but you know what? We do that together. We've put hundreds of hours of service into our community and thousands of dollars into making a difference in our community alone by doing outreach on the first Saturday of every month and Serve Day in July. When we go out and we make a difference in people's lives doing tangible things, tangible stuff that is actually helpful to them, and then we get the opportunity to share the hope of Jesus and the gospel with them. We get to pray for them and their struggles in their lives. And guess what? I don't know that I could accomplish all that on my own, but we accomplish that together. It's the power of the family. Are you hearing me? So we have this opportunity to do this in family. Let me go to the prayer of David. He said, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. You were saved on purpose and for a purpose. Amen. So here, let's move. I'm having to hustle today for time. Here we go. I'd like to say it this way, okay? This is my language. Just go with me. I believe that we all have a capital P purpose. You and me. So some of us are like, man, I want to know my purpose. I want to discover it. Well, let me tell you your capital P purpose. All of it. It's exactly the same. So the capital P purpose in my life is the exact same capital P purpose in your life. And that purpose is to have the power to be a witness everywhere we go. Amen. Okay? Here we go. Watch. Jesus. And then he told them, you are going to go into the world and you're going to preach the good news to everybody. Okay. Everybody. So let me, listen. We're going to start a brand new series next week. It's called Decisive Direction. I'm going to dig right here, okay? It's going to connect like it's the same series, I promise. But right here, we're going to get deep into this one. But here's what I want you to hear me say, that we all have the same capital P purpose, and that is to spread the hope of Jesus everywhere we go. I will amen myself, all right? But I believe we also have a little P purpose. I want to talk about that a little bit. So you have a capital P purpose. Like, it's the big, important, it matters, it's the same for everybody, but you also have a little P purpose, meaning it's unique and individualized. Some of y'all don't like my little P capital P. All right, here we go. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians. Let me get off that real quick. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now listen, chapter 12, this whole like section, I just grabbed a couple of verses to give you a context and understanding, okay? The Bible says this, even so, it's relating the family of God to our actual physical bodies. And even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of what? Many parts. Remember, I alluded to this last week. So you got fingers, and you got toes, and elbows, and knee, all that. Okay. Head, shoulders, knees, and okay. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? You could see the case being made, right? Like, it wouldn't make sense. Okay. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So he designed all this. And if they were all one part, where would the body be, right? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And so here's what I want to describe, here's what I want to unpack, is this, that we have this capital P purpose as a church, like for the whole world to hear the good news of Jesus, that everybody everywhere should be told, at least have the opportunity to reject the hope we have. At least have that as an opportunity. Yeah, you don't have to accept it, but man, he has changed my life. And I like to say that he changes my life every day. Because it's not like one time he did it. It's like all the time he has to do it. Because I got stuff. Come on. I'm still trying to find freedom from some things. Amen? Are you? I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one. But that's fine. As long as you'll keep letting me preach, I'll keep finding freedom and I'll keep preaching. So we have this big purpose that we can do more together. We can achieve way more as a family than we could ever achieve as an individual. We can do a lot as a unit that we couldn't do as an individual. But the reason that it works is because we have this little P purpose. We have a part to play, like within the body. So some of you get irritated and frustrated because it's like you're like super organized and you got to work next to the person that's a total mess. And you're like, man, this joker drives me crazy, bother me so bad. I wish he'd put things back where they go and exactly how they go. Come on, that's me. And it can be bothersome if we take a certain perspective, but at the same time, there's probably a strength that they carry that I do not have. And so where I, with my dress right, dress, organized, straight lines, perfect systems, I just want everything to just be like robotic, where I have a strength of organization and systemized thinking, if I'm not careful, it could become so organized and so systematic that it could lose its personal connection. So what that perhaps, in my opinion, disorganized person might bring to the table is, hey, like, bro, I know that you like it this way, but brother, it's rubbing some people the wrong way. Can we remember them? Can we think about them? And there's a strength to that. Some of us walk into a room, and you just think about walking into the room, like, what do you see? Some of you, I would see a crooked chair, and I'd have to straighten it. Others of you are going to notice the lady sitting by herself, and it's going to be like, oh, man, like, that breaks my heart. Like, let me go and talk to her. I don't want her to be alone. Some of you are going to see the person that they seem like they've never been here before, and you would immediately, you just want them comfortable. You just want them to understand, like, where to go. Do you know where the restroom is? We have coffee. You can bring it right inside. Like, you just want them to feel at home. Why? Because you were wired that way. Some of you guys want to be out front. You want to take charge and tell everybody it's going to be a great day. You want to get your huddle with your people, and, hey, it's going to be a great day. We're going to go serve. Come on, everybody. Come on, let's break it out and pray right now. And then others of you just wish that nobody saw you. You'd like to be in the background the whole time. Like, I want to serve, but I want to serve when nobody sees me. And if I don't have to talk to people, that'd be even better. Like, that's you. But here's the thing. It all matters. In fact, the family can't function. The body won't work if you don't do your part. And this is the way that God has designed us. And so here at Church on the Rock, the way that we live out this function of the body of Christ is through our serve team. It's how it's done. And so what we do is we give people an opportunity to go make a difference in the places where they have a strength. And so there are all kinds of teams. We have teams that you never see them. You never hear about them. They stay behind the scenes. It's all they do. But how many of you know that every week when you come in here, there's a pen, there's an envelope, there's a connection card, there's notes. Well, somebody's doing that. There's a team of people that within their giftedness, that's what they do. How many of you know that every week when you come, we sing worship songs to the Lord? There is a team of people, they're doing that. How many of you guys love the bright shirts in the parking team and you get cheered on with pom-poms and things when you walk? Because that's a giftedness in people and they play their part. How many of you are glad that your children get served by somebody that loves them and understands them and can connect with them? Because there are people that do that and that's their gift, that's their strength. It's what they bring to the family. Because I'm going to tell you something, there are things I don't want to do. And no offense, but your kids aren't necessarily one of them. I thank God for the people that absolutely eat up the time they get with them because they have such a burning passion for them and such an ability to serve them. But at the same time, there are many of you that would hate to have some of the tough conversations that I have to have. But I was built for this. It's what I do. And I want to make this really practical, if I may, okay? As practical as possible, and I need to be really fast. I just believe with all of my heart that our society perpetuates selfishness all the time. It's easier to be selfish than it is to be selfless. It's just easier. So if you feel selfish, you're just like everybody else. Narcissism is like something that's easy to catch on to. You know what I mean? It's just easy. Because I care about me, think about me. I have to live with me. So I'd like me to be pretty comfortable, right? But here's what the serve team at Church on the Rock gives us an opportunity to do. It gives us an opportunity to connect with my people. It gives me the opportunity to be selfless. Because I'm going to tell you something. I speak for every serve team member in this church. More than 200 of them. Every single one of them. Love making a difference. Where they make a difference. But there are probably certain Sundays or Fridays or Wednesdays or Thursdays, whatever day they make their difference on, they'd rather sleep in. Stay home, go out for dinner, do something else, because the lean toward selfishness is always there. But there's something about it sometimes that's healthy for us to intentionally do something for someone else and to do it oftentimes sacrificially. And what we give the opportunity for you to do is this, to find a little P purpose. Can I just say something bold right here? Okay. Some of us are so in the habit of being selfish, the best thing we could do is intentionally choose to go make a difference and be taught how to do it. Some of us are so narcissistic that we don't know how to think of other people. And the serve team is like the best training ground. So for some of you, you're like, I don't know. What do you have a passion for? I don't know. But I need to think of other people. Where's the need? Just put me somewhere and put me around some good people and let me figure out how to actually do for someone else, because all I seem to do for is myself. And then there are others of us, it's like we're like addicted to making a difference in people's lives because we have found the joy in it. And it's like, oh, yeah, no, it's not always easy. No, it's not always fun. Is anything perfect? No. So you know what? I have found a joy in this. I have found fun in this. I mean, I get my pom-poms, come on, woo, welcome to church. Like that's fun. And we have people, I mean, I could go on and on. Man, I don't have time. I go on and on and on about the amazing people that make a difference. Here's what I'm trying to say. Is that in our church, we have systematically built ways for us to live in the culture. Hey, bear with me. Here we go. Bear with me. Thought of this too late. Okay? The value system of our God is this. For every human on earth, He wants us to know Him, find freedom, discover our purpose, and make a difference. So, at Church on the Rock, we have primary vehicles that help us get this done. All right? The primary way that we help people know God is our church services. They happen on Sundays, and they happen on Wednesdays, and on certain weekends, they happen on Saturdays and Fridays and all kind of days. Because this draws more people than anything we do. This. So we have become intentional, and we've said at Church on the Rock, we will communicate the hope of Jesus every week, every time, and we will give people every week, every time, no matter the topic, no matter what's going on, no matter who the communicator is, we're going to make sure they get the opportunity to know God every time, period. The way we help people find freedom primarily is through life groups. Why? Because life change happens in the context of relationships. We need people. That's why we value groups so much. Discover purpose. Well, how do I know? Or what? That's called all access here at our church. And it's three easy steps. And we just take you through a process of like, hey, this is our church. So in the first step, we're going to tell you, like, this is what we do here. You want to be a part of it? Awesome. And if not, we're not the only good church in the community. We'll help you go find a good one. But if you're going to call this church home, we live in the kingdom's culture. Amen? And then we help you discover and answer some questions about yourself and dig into yourself just a little bit and be like, oh, man, cool. Okay. You know, like it helped me. And I don't have time to tell you the story, but like even after leading a church, I was like, oh, cool. I found a gift that I didn't even know that I necessarily had. So now I focus on exercising that gift because I realized like, oh, I'm good at that. All right. And I just do it more intentionally. So week in church services, life groups, all access, serve team. Serve team. Go make a difference. Go make a difference in the life of someone else. Yeah, but I don't know how to. We'll teach you how. We'll show you how. We'll instruct you how. You'll find this is fun. And so today, when you walk out of this building underneath that tent where you can get your coffee, we have actually a special table set up today just for you to say, you know what? I want to make a difference. I do. I want to make a difference. Maybe you went through all access pre-COVID, and now you're like, all right, now I'm ready. And P.S., I want that cool shirt that everybody wears. It looks so neat. All right, whatever. Maybe you're like, I'm new. Love it. I want to find out more. Go to the table. It says, make a difference right there, dead center of the tent. It's your opportunity to take some steps of action because God's called us to an inheritance of His holy people. We get to make a difference together because we can do more together than we can ever do apart. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I'm landing the plane right now. Thank you for your grace. I've gone over time. But I just told you about a staple, a pillar that we stand on here. And so I cannot end this service and not give you the opportunity to know God. And so I just want to look into the camera. I want to speak to those in the room. And I want to say this. If you've never met Jesus, I want to give you the opportunity to do that right now. The only way that I can know God is through Jesus. He said that I'm going to quote, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by me. This is why Jesus is the way. This is why Jesus is our hope, because He helps us to know God. And so if that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer. I believe the Spirit's already worked on your heart. I just want to lead you in some language that would connect you to the heart of our God. Church family, you know how we do it. I'm going to ask everybody in the room to say it with me so that those saying it for the first time can say it with total confidence. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's clap for those that made that decision. Congratulations to you. Congratulations to you. I'm going to invite you to stick around just another minute. We're going to go into communion, and then we're going to let you go. I love you guys.